Morning, everyone. Today's daf Yavamah, daf Samech. We are in Nun Testament Aleph. We're starting today the Mishnah. Today, the entire day dedicated to the topic of Besulim, the definition of Besulim. Kohen Gadol lo yisal amana, so Kohen Gadol may not marry an amana. Lo min, I'm sorry, bein amana min erusin, bein amana min nisun. It doesn't matter whether she was either gone through nisun already or even if she just went through erusin. Still, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her. We know the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besulim. So certainly we understand that a Kohen Gadol is prohibited from marrying an Amana min ha-Nisun, because obviously the woman was married, so that means that she's no longer a Besulim. But also, even from Erisin as well, the Gemara is going to discuss. V'lo yisa es ha-Bogeres. Similarly, this Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Bogeres. Now, that's a big chiddush. Bogeres just simply means a woman who went through maturation. In other words, there are three maturity points for every woman. From birth until 12 years of age, she's a katana. And then from 12 to 12 and a half, approximately. In other words, that's a little bit flexible, but let's just say it simplistically, from 12 to 12 and a half years of age, she's a nara. She halachically is categorized as a nara. And from 12 and a half on onward, she's a bogeris. Okay, so she basically, at 12 and a half years of age, from a halachic standpoint, she's a woman, and she's a mature woman. So a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry Bogeris. And the Mishnah's point, of course, is that she wasn't married, she didn't experience Kedusha, nothing, and yet the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her. The obvious question is, well, why not? What? She's a psul, isn't she? So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, machshim beBogeris. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say that she can marry a Bogeris, v'lo yisas mukedes. And a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a mukedes. Mukedes is a woman who lost her virginity not because of a man, but because of some sort of accident. Horseback riding, or mukadesh just simply means that she was hit with a piece of wood, whatever, some accident occurred that caused her to lose her besulim. Okay, there's a number of things to discuss in the Mishnah. We're going to get right into it. Tanu Rabbanan, amana leikach bein amana min erusin bein amana min anisuin. In amana, the pasuk says that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an amana. And the assumption of the Braisa is whether it's an amana from erusin or from nisuin. Napshita ma'u detema. So the Gemara says, now that's obvious, because the Torah doesn't qualify the Isser to the Kohen as a Besula, although the Kohen has to marry a Besula, but the Torah says Amana. So a widow is a widow. What difference does it make what stage of marriage she went through? She went through stage one or stage two of marriage. What difference does it make? A woman who went through Kiddushin and her husband died, she's an Amana, she's a widow. So the Gemara says, Ahavamin is, I would have thought, that we should learn from Tamar what the definition of an Amana is. Rashi here points out that Tamar, obviously Tamar is pre-Sinai, but still, in other words, we're looking at a definition. What's the definition of an Amana? So I might have thought that Tamar was married. She was fully married to Er, Onan, and the Torah describes her as an Amana. So maybe that could give us the very definition of what an Amana is. We might have thought that Amana is only from Nisuin. So Kamash Malan, so that's the Chiddush. Chiddush is that, no, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, so his ability, or in this case, prohibition of marrying an amana, applies to whether she's an amana from either Nisun or Erisin. Now, the Gemara says, wait a second, that was a great Havamina. Meaning maybe Tamar should be the definition of what an amana is. Dumi de grusha, ma grusha, beimin and Nisun, beimin and Erisin, af amana, beimin and Erisin, beimin and Nisun. So the Gemara says, no, because we're going to compare the amana to a grusha. We know that a grusha is defined as a grusha, whether she's a grusha from Erisin or from Nisuin. Same thing is true with an Amana. An Amana is considered, she qualifies as an Amana, both from Erisin and from Nisuin. Good. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara now, I'm sorry, V'lo Yisas HaBogeres. Here we go. Okay, big machlok is coming up right now in terms of the Kohen Gadol's ability to marry a Bogeres. Again, Bogeres is just simply a woman above the age of 12 and a half. And the Kohen Gadol, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, Kohen Gadol can't marry her. The obvious question, why not? Let's begin. Tanu Rabbanan. Gemara quotes the Braisa. Who isha bivsula hayikach. So the pasuk says, Parshas Amor, the very imperative, the instruction of a Kohen Gadol who has to marry a bisula. So prat lebogeres shikalu la bisula hadiv Rabbi Meir. So the Torah's mandate that the Kohen Gadol must marry a bisula excludes a bogeres shikalu la bisula. She no longer has a virginity. What does it mean? She no longer has her virginity. That's not true. She still has besulim. It means that it's effaced. The besulim of a mature woman is slightly effaced than that of a Nara or that of a Katana. And so as a result of that, Rav Meir says, okay, that's meaning for other halacha shall be considered basula. Now, just as an example. We know ksuva, right? We'll get to the beginning of Masechta Ksuvas. We know that for a ksuva, there's a difference between a basula and a ba'ula. In terms of what the ksuva payment is going to be, what the ksuva amount is going to be set at the beginning of the marriage. So there's no distinction between a bogeris and a nara and a katana, meaning a basula is a basula. But vis-a-vis the Cohen's obligation to marry a basula, Rav Meir says it has to be a maximum amount of basula. And if it goes through any type of effacement whatsoever, i.e. she's a bogeris, so then according to Rav Meir, Cohen Gadol can no longer marry her.
Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. How can you marry somebody who's a past bogeris?
If
something changed, well, she's a bogeris, right?
No. Bogeris just simply means she's over 12 and a half. That's all.
Right.
Okay.
I'm saying to you, the reason is why.
Because it's effaced. The Besulim is a little bit effaced.
Right. So, and after Bogeris?
There's nothing after Bogeris.
No, I'm saying to you, the Besulim is the same. It hasn't changed, right? So it doesn't go back to what she was when she was a katana.
I'm not following.
The reason you cannot marry a bogeris is because the basulim was changed, whatever. Okay?
It effaced a little.
So that change stays this forever.
Good.
How can you marry somebody after
he can't,
bogeris?
He can't. In other words, the only one, that means according to a mayor, his only possible candidate for a wife is going to have to either be a katana or a nara.
But when she's a nara, her basulim is also a change already.
No, in other words, the Gemara's assumption is, I'm not discussing the anatomy or the physiology. Okay. The way the Gemara views it is that her basulim are going to be intact and as developed as possible during the eight stages of Ketana Nara. After Nara, meaning once she's bogeris, it starts to efface a little bit. And that small amount of effacement is according to Rav Meir, is going to exclude her from the Kohen Gadol. Okay? So, Div Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirim, Babogeres. So, Bamai Kemiflegis. So, the Gemara over here is going to give a Hezber HaMachlokis. Now, when I say Hezber, I don't really mean an explanation. I mean that we're going to see how they look at the Pesukim and how they darshan the Pesukim. Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Stula, Afila, Mixas, Basula. So, Rabbi Meir says, look, the word Basula by itself, in other words, unqualified, the default setting of a basula is mixas basula. Meaning you don't need the full basulim. Even if there's some sort of retention of basulim, so Rav Meir says that's including the word basula. But the Torah, when describing the Kohen Gadol, doesn't say the word basula. It says bisuleha. That's an extra yud. Mashma basula adiika kola basulim. So what are we doing now? The Torah is going away from the default setting. Meaning, so according to Rav Meir, the default setting is mixas basulim, any amount of basulim. Which means the bogeris would be included, but the fact that the Torah says besulaha, so that changes the default, and so that means the Kohen Gadol can only marry a woman with a full besulim, i.e. either katana or nara. Bivsulaha, now we have an extra bayis. Now the pasuk says bivsulaha, what do we do with that extra bayis? Bikadarka inshla, bikadarka lo. So that means then that the only time that a woman is going to be prohibited to a Kohen is only if she had relations in natural ways, but if she had relations in an unnatural way, she's still going to be eligible for a Kohen Gadol. So what you have for a mayor really is a kula and a chumra. Okay? And it's gonna work for both shitos. So it's a good way to think about it. For a mayor, you have a kula and you have a chumra. The kula, according to a mayor, well, let's start with the chumra. The chumra for a mayor is that once a woman becomes a bogeris, that's it. There's an effacement of her besulim, and so she no longer is eligible for a Kohen Gadol. That's the chumra. That's a big chumra. But there's also kula for Rabbi Meir as well. From the extra bays, we learn that if a woman had biyish lo kedarka, even prior to her bagros, she's still going to be eligible to a kohen, because the extra bays tells us that it's only bivsula, it's only within the besulim, that she will become prohibited to a kohen. But if it's not in her besulim, i.e., it's biyish lo kedarka, so then she would be mutter to a kohen. That is Shita's Rabbi Meir. We move on now to the Shita, to the next Shita. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Stavri, Besula. Bisula Shlema Mashma. So here now, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shlema, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, a different starting point. The starting point is that the word Bisula means Shlema. The default setting of the word Bisula means the full Bisulim, which only is experienced for a woman from the stages of Ketana Nara. Again, everyone works with the same assumptions that a Bogeris does not have a full Bisulim. It's effaced a little bit. So Bisulaha, now with a new starting point. So now what changes is now going to be the change in the default setting. Mm-hmm. So when the Torah says now with the words bisula, filo mixus bisulim. Okay. So now the bisula tells us even if it's mixus bisulim, so that means that even a bogeris is allowed to marry Kohen Gadol, provided that she didn't have relations. Bivsulaha, so now what are we going to do with this extra base? So now, as Rashi explains, we can only go in one direction, and that's to be machmir. Meaning because up until now, we've been makel. Again, according to Rav Lazar and Rabbi Shimon. In other words, we've allowed a woman to marry Kohen Gadol, even though there's been a small effacement of her bisulim. Now the extra base is going to be machmir. What's the chumra? Ashu kol bisula kayamim, bein b'kadarka, bein shalot kadarka. So that means then that if she was violated either Kedarka or Shalo Kedarka, nevertheless, she now at this point in time becomes ineligible to marry a Kohen Gadol. It is not anatomically, but halachically a pchas, a deficiency in her besulim. If she was not even violated, meaning if she had relations, then on either way, she's going to be a deficiency in her besulim. Okay, good. So we have now a basic machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Sure, the matter is we didn't learn anything new, meaning all we're doing is just going over the Mishnah and explaining how they arrive at their conclusion based on what the starting point, what the default setting of Basula is. So again, just quickly to reiterate, Rabbi Meir says that once she reaches the stage of Bogeris, she can't marry Kohen Gadol. Why? Because there's an effacement of her Basulim. According to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, no. Even if there's an effacement of her Basulim, still, as long as there's some remnant of her Basulim left, she would be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. And again, it's based on what the default setting of the word Basula means and what the Torah does when it says Bisulaha and then what happens when it says Bivsulaha. Okay, good. Halacha. The Gemara gives us a psak amar of Yudam Arav, nivala shlo kedarka psula kahuna. Okay, so Rav gives a psak. Now, he doesn't tip his hat in terms of which Tana he's following. The Gemara is going to do a little bit of the legwork for us. But Rav says that a woman who is nivala shlo kedarka, so she had bir shlo kedarka, which means that her actual psulim themselves are still intact, still, she is psula kahuna, she can no longer marry a kohen. Kohen over here, of course, means Kohen Gadol. Okay. And as Rashi points out over here, he's not giving a psak for a Kohen Hedjot. A woman has relations with a man that doesn't disqualify her for a Kohen Hedjot. Now, mind you, of course, and this is going to be a big part of today's discussion, if a woman is a Zona, she can't marry a Kohen Hedjot. But what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to give very strict definition of what a Zona is. Okay. That's what it sounds like. So let's watch. The Gemara. Okay, so let's see. Let's see how this works. So Mesa Rava. So Rava is bothered by the following. He quotes a brisa. Velosi Elisha beisha ruyelo. Pradla aman lekohen gadol grusha vechalutz lekohen hedjo. Okay, we know the psukim parshas kisese describe what happens when a man is ma'anes a na'ara besula. Okay, so man rapes a woman. So so that's nezek, meaning that's damages. So he has to pay for all the damages. And there's two more parts to the onish of the Torah. Onish, okay, it's a strong right. But one of them is that he has to pay a knas, okay, 50 shkalim, which is it's a good amount of money. And in other words, in addition to, by the way, the knas, everyone understand, knas is in addition to all the tashlami nezek, meaning you pay the tashlami nezek, the actual damages that were done, and on top of that, punitive fine of 50 shkalim. And on top of that, belos the Elisha. And then he marries her. Now the Gemara in Ksuvos, we're going to learn this together at length, the third parak of Ksuvos, third and fourth, if I'm not mistaken, is going to discuss this at length in terms of she can opt in, she doesn't have to opt in, if maybe understandably, okay. But anyway, we're going to be focusing on one point over here, one nekuda. Belos the Elisha, beisha ruyelo. So the Torah only affords the opportunity, the ability for the ma'anes to marry the woman only if it's someone who is permitted to him. So, and that excludes pra'ala amana l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedjo. An exclusion to the kohen gadol being ma'anes and amana or grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedjo. Yeah, and in context, by the way, just to realize the discussion that we're having right now, we're describing a kohen gadol being ma'anes a woman. Okay, that's not usually the way we perceive a Kohen Gadol in terms of his behavior. But again, that's not the point. The point is just simply we're going to arrive at a halachic conclusion, which is Heichidami. So the Gemara says, I understand why we even having an amana discussion. Meaning he can't marry her if she's a widow. Why don't we make a more basic point? And that is, she's not a basula. Now, I understand, as the Gemara will show an awareness in just a moment, there's a reason why she's not a basula. It's because of the Kohen Gadol. He's the cause of her not being a basula. Okay, that point is well understood. And the Gemara is going to come back to that point in just a moment. But right now, just for the time being, the fact of the matter is she's not a basula. So why is the Braisa saying, well, the Kohen Gadol can't marry his Me'unesses because she's an Amana? What do you mean she's an Amana? More basic. She's not a basula. So typically, Mishum Da'avi Le'Ba'ula. El Alav Shalom Kedarka. So it must be that when he was Ma'anis or Shalom Kedarka, so that wasn't a disruption of her Besulim. There was no rupturing of her Besulim. And now, let's now clarify. So what happens? So the Kohen Gadol was Ma'anis or Bishlo Kedarka, and why is she prohibited to the Kohen Gadol? So the Braisa says, because she's an Amana. Okay. Now let's put everything together. This doesn't bode well for Rav. Rav says that if a woman had be a Shalom Kedarka, she will be disqualified to a Kohen Gadol. From this Braisa, it doesn't seem that way. So the Gemara's answer is, and now Hedy, this is the point that you made a couple moments ago, top of Netesam and Beis, Hamani Rebbe Meir, okay. The author of that Braisa is Rebbe Meir, meaning Rebbe Meir is of the opinion that be a Shalom Kedarka does not disqualify her from Kohen Gadol. That's Chita's Rebbe Meir. Fine. And that's who the Braisa is following. V'Rav Dama K'Rebbe Elazar. And Rav is holding like Rebbe Elazar. Okay, good. So in other words, really now, this is where the Gemara does the legwork for us. Really now, Rav is, even though he's saying a halacha, what he's really doing is he's saying, I follow Chita's Rebbe Elazar. So Rebbe Elazar, my ear, Yamishim Ba'ula, Tebekle, Davi, Lezona. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. If he's following Rebbe Elazar, so there's another Shita Rebbe Elazar that comes up again and again throughout Shas, and that is the following. Again, we know that a Kohen cannot marry a Zona, the Torah says. What is the definition of a Zona? The generally accepted definition of a Zona is a woman who had a prohibited relationship. Meaning, a prohibited relationship, and generally the definition is, it's a lav, it's a violation of at least minimally an iser lav. Fine. That is the definition of a zona. No, right. Doesn't have to be an iser kares. And later this morning, we're going to talk about nida. We'll talk about it later on. I'll leave that for later. That's generally speaking the definition of a zona. Rebbe Elazar has a very interesting shita, which is, Gemara over here tells us, that if a single man has relations with a single woman, right, they're both Jewish, but it's not for the purposes of marriage, so he makes her a zona. Meaning, let's separate a maisa znus and the definition of a zona. Meaning, one is a status and the other is just simply a way of describing relations. If relations take place between man and woman, and it's not l'shem ishus, that's znus. Okay, that's lascivious behavior. It's immoral, it's lascivious behavior. But generally speaking, we don't take the position that, okay, if the woman engaged in premarital relations, so she's a zona. Rebbe Elazar says she is. Rebbe Elazar is of the opinion that she is a zona. Okay, that's a shita. We don't paskin like that. But here the Gemara says, well, if Rav is paskining by Rebbe, like Rebbe Elazar, as it relates to what the definition of a basula is, well, then you have to assume that Rav is also paskening like Rebbe Elazar in terms of what makes a woman a zona. Now, here comes the part which I don't know. Why does the Gemara make that assumption? Meaning, right, in other words, just because you held like Rebbe Elazar in one area in halacha does not necessarily mean that you have to hold like Rebbe Elazar in another area of halacha. Well, the first area of halacha is what's the definition of a basula. Fine. So then that Rav says, I hold like Rebbe Elazar. And then the Gemara says, well, if that's true, then he has to hold like Rebbe Elazar in terms of what the definition of a zona is. I don't understand. I'm just, this is This is me just being, you know, this is like full disclosure. I don't understand why the two have to go hand in hand. They seem to be two totally different issues.
It's possible after Bia the Batula is still intact.
That's true, but that's not related to our topic. Meaning that the Rav is going like Rabbi Lazar, which means that Bia Shalok Kedarka is going to disqualify her. It's not a related issue. Again, I just don't know. I don't know why just because Rav holds like Rabbi Lazar in one area of halacha necessarily means that he holds like another. Okay, and I'm sure. Rashi doesn't bring it up and see it. Oh, whatever. I'm sure if I look more, I'd understand that point a little bit better. But anyway, so the Gemara assumes, so fine. So he holds like, if he holds like Rav Elazar regarding what the definition of a zona is, so now, then what do we stand right now? So that means then that in the case of either Ma'anis or Mefate, a woman who had premarital relations with a man, not by the case of Ma'anis, but in the case of Pitui, where it was seduction, where she becomes a willing participant, by definition, she should be a Zona. So then, if that's true, so then how can it be that the Braisa says, well, he can't marry her because she's an Amana? Well, isn't there a more basic point now? Assuming that Rav is holding like Rabbi Elazar, which is she's a zona. Okay, so Amar Rav Yosef Kigon Shenival LeBeima. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Braisa is describing a scenario where she did lose her virginity, but it was through Maisa Behema. Okay, it was bestiality, and the Gemara now is assuming Dasa Mishum Beula Ika Mishum Zona Leika. Well, there she qualifies as a Beula, but she is not a zona. Meaning that, according to Rav Yosef, a woman who has relations with an animal does not, and mind you, by the way, that's a lav. That's more than a lav. It's an Isser Kares. I'm sorry. We'll go even one step higher. It's an Isser Skila. Okay, got it. Fine. So, and yes, she's not a zona. Amalei abai mimanav shechi bula havia zona nami havia vizona lo havia bula nami lo havia. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. That's a zona. Meaning, how could it be that she has relations with an animal, and she does not qualify as a zona? And the Gemara says, and what do you want to suggest? That we're going to compare that to mukadei shaloka darka, okay? Which the Gemara says that you can't compare the two. So im kein en lecha isha shekshir lekuhuna shalonasus mukadei says ayidei tzura, because then you're going to come up to what would be an absurd halachic conclusion, which would mean that every woman would be disqualified for a Kohen Gadol. Why? Because in the good old days, so they did not use toilet paper, they used stones to wipe themselves after having gone to the bathroom. And that would mean then that there is going to be, every woman after having relieved herself is going to use a stone. There will be some sort of penetration into the area. Thank you. Got caught in the air. So there'll be some penetration to the area, which means then that she will be mukadei shelo kedarka, which again, assuming that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, which is how Rab paskins, which means that she would now be disqualified for a Kohen Gadol. Now we know that's not true. It's patently not true. So the Gemara says, you can't compare a Maisa Behema to mukadei shelo kedarka. Obviously, you can't compare the two. So what we're trying to do now is uncover a scenario in which a woman is a ba'ula but still qualified to marry a Kohen Gadol. How do we arrive at that scenario? Now, again, why are we trying to construct such a scenario? Because the Braisa says that she can be an Amana and not fit to marry a Kohen Gadol. And we're just trying to understand, well, how can she be an Amana and her disqualification not be predicated on the fact that she's a ba'ula? Why is a Braisa moving to a disqualification of Amana? So the Gemara gives an example. I'm Rabbi Zera, Bimima, NS. So Rabbi Zera says, okay, I'll tell you the scenario. Scenario is Mian. What happened? Father dead. She was married off by either brother or by her mother to a man. The relations between her and that man, perfectly legitimate. bona fide, 100% bona fide, meaning it's in the context of marriage. Now, in miyun, she can opt out of the marriage, she can annul the marriage. Okay, so that would be a scenario that...
Doesn't it nullify the
bia
also that she has?
It doesn't nullify the bia occurred.
No, but her status in terms of like...
She's a ba'ula.
She's considered ba'ula?
Of course. Ba'ula is a physical change. It means that she no longer...
Before they just three, doesn't count.
Correct. So she's a ba'ula. So here's a perfect example where she would be a ba'ula, but she would not be a zona. Okay. So now she doesn't have a psul znus, and
Is that the rabbanan marriage with the mother and brother?
Yes. That's correct. So fine. So that would be a scenario where, according to Rav, we're constructing this because the Braisa gives a scenario in which a woman is an almana, but she's not a ba'ula. Okay, and this one would be a ba'ula. But now we have a scenario in which, let's assume that the bia that she had with her husband was not a bia kedarka, but a bia shlo kedarka. So in other words, so it didn't affect her actual basulim whatsoever. What about the fact that she was a maisa's nos, which renders her a zona? It's not. Because even if Rav takes a position, Rabbi Elazar, that panu abba pnuya l'shol shem ishas is a zona, but here, she was in the context of marriage. Now it happens to be, because of me, and she was able to annul the marriage, so it's a scenario in which she had relations, and even which she's not considered a zona. Because the relationship she had was in the context of marriage. And assuming that her husband only had bia shelo kedarka, she still has her basul and she would be fit for a kohen gadol.
So it could be any other. Why are we going to the case of the katana? Any other... should I be bogeret?
No. We're...
So if not that the case, any other case would be like a almana who has not a relationship with kedarka could be eligible. Why are we going to the
Ketana? We're going to the Ketana over here because, again, remember.
Any other woman who's not
right, but Rav. All right, I'll tell you what. Come to me afterward. We'll discuss some more after. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear about this point, but again, the Gemara constructs a scenario in which a woman can be on one hand she have had bia, but not be qualified as a zona. And yet her disqualification to the Gaon Gadol will be predicated on the fact that she had Biyash Lokadarka. Okay. Amar Shimi Barchia Nivala B'Meimak Sheryl Kahuna. Okay, the Gemara quotes of Shimi Barchia that says that a woman has Biyah with an animal, so she would be Kashla Kahuna. Meaning, relations with an animal does not render her a zona. Tayin HaMehachi, the Gemara quotes of Bryce as well, Nivala Misheino Ish, Afa Pisha Biskila Sheryl Kahuna. Now, even though, and it's not a small even though it's a skila, meaning having a relation with an animal, that's one of the arayis in the Torah. It's not only one of the arayis in the Torah. Coming with it is an iser skila, and nevertheless, she would be ksher l'kahuna. She would be muteris to a kohen, meaning she is not rendered a zona. So kiyasar of dimi amar ma'isa b'riva achas b'hitalu sha'isa mechabedes es abayis. The Gemara tells a tragic story of a young girl, town of Hitalu, who was sweeping the house, v'rava kelev, and she was sodomized by a dog. So, b'kelev kufri me'achareha, v'ikshiru rabbi l'kuhuna. Rabbi said, okay, as tragic as it is, she is muteris to a kohen. Amar Shmuel ula kohen gadol. And Shmuel says, not only is she muteris to a kohen, but she would also be muteris to a kohen gadol. Again, what are we describing over here? We're describing b'yishlo kedarka, by an animal, so there are two halachic concerns that are sidestepped. Number one, what about the fact that she's a zona? So she's not, meaning that a relationship with an animal doesn't render a zona. What about the fact that she's not a basula? Shmuel says she is a basula, because it was bia shelo kedarka that was had with her, so her basulim are still intact. So therefore she'd be able to marry Kohen Gadol. The Gemara asks a technical question. Amalei Rava me prickin la Ravashi menaha milsa damar rabbanan dai skip. Yes, I did. Amar Shmuel Kohen Gadol be may Rebbe Kohen Gadol mihava. So the Gemara says this took place during the days of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Gemara is just simply bothered. There were Kohen Gadols during the time of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. he lived over 100 years after Churban Bayis Sheni. It just simply means that if we had a Kohen Gadol, she'd be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Okay. Fine. We have now a number of statements in the Gemara that bia with an animal does not render her a zona. Why should that be? So that's the Gemara's next discussion. How do we know this? That there is no znus when it comes to an animal. Again, when I say no znus, I mean it's a technical discussion. It means it doesn't render her a zona. It's based on a drasha. Meaning, and by the way, it has to be a drasha. Because if you think about it, what is she doing? She's engaging in relations, which is more than a lav. It's chayv skila. So there's a drasha that tells us that despite the fact that it's a chayv skila, still she's not rendered a zona by having relations with an animal. So esan kelav mechir zona mutarim. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tse. The Torah says that if I have either an esan zona or mechir kelav, I cannot bring those animals as a carbon. Esan zona. That a little more intuitive, a little easier to understand. Esan zona, man solicits a prostitute for hire, and the payment does not come in the form of money, but the payment comes in the form of an animal. Okay, Yehuda and Tamar, right? He was prepared to pay with an animal. He just happens to be, he didn't have any animals on hand. He gave collateral, but okay, either way. In other words, he pays with an animal. That animal, the Torah says, don't bring that animal as a carbon. Meaning if the Zona wants to go to the base of Mikdash, right, and she wants to bring this animal as a carbon, the Torah says, no, you can't. Animal's disqualified as a carbon. And again, intuitively makes perfect sense. Meaning it's
so the animal is tainted, but not
tainted. The woman, the woman is, unfortunately, a poor career choice for her, but she wants to bring a carbon. Hold on a second. So, Mechir Kelev, more difficult to understand. Mechir Kelev, you exchange an animal for a dog. Okay, the animal also has a taint to it, a pagam to it. That animal cannot be brought as a carbon. Okay, what's so bad with dogs? I like dogs. Some don't. But in other words, difficult to understand. And right now, I'll tell you, the beauty of the daf, we don't have to understand. Meaning, there's a kusuf. Torah says that in exchange for either the mechir, either for the eslan zona, for the hire of the zona, or a swab for a dog, that animal cannot be brought as a carbon. Good. Utanan, and the Gemara then quotes the Mishnah, eslan kelva mechir zona mutarim. What if those things get swapped? Now this is going to be extraordinarily indelicate. Eslan kelev, so what if you pay for for prostitution with an animal? Okay, Rashi over here gives a scenario. Shimamar Adam Lazona, I'm reading Rashi. Shimamar Adam Lazona, Helech Telezevi, Balila Kalbi. Okay, I apologize, it's terribly indelicate, but, okay, just understanding how we're generating the halacha. So a man prays for a prostitute not to be with him, but to be with a dog. Okay, and she gets paid, and she gets paid with an animal. Now, that's as debased an act as one can imagine, and yet the animal in that scenario would be fit as a carbon. Now again, here's a perfect illustration of where you think you understand the Torah, and it's.
But she gets a punishment for bestiality.
Well, if right, correct. If there's, that's what the Bryce has said earlier. Alpha P. Even though it's right, even though there's a chiyuv skila, but still. And exactly the point, meaning the animal would be fit for a carbon, and she is not going to be, she won't be rendered a zona. Mechir zona, what does that mean? And again, I turn back to Rashi. Mechir zona is, mechir zona, shehichliv zona betle. You swap out, instead of swapping out a dog for an animal, so you swap out a zona for an animal. Admittedly, I don't fully understand what that means. How do you swap one out for the other? You're buying a zona. Okay, I'm not totally clear about what exactly the mechir zona scenario is, but either way, the point is mutarim. That the Torah says is mutar. And how do I know that? Because shenemar gam shnehem. Because the Torah says, after writing the pasuk of lo savi eslan zona mechir kolav, gam shnehem, these two things cannot be brought as a carbon. Shnayim v'lo arba. two and not four. So that comes to teach us that the it's not considered znus for a woman to be with a dog. Okay, so that's how we know that she's not branded as a zona to be with a animal. Okay, so I know a lot of indelicate discussions, but conclusion of the Gemara is that as far as the besula as it's defined for a Kohen Gadol, so a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Bogeres, right? Lo yisas Bogeres, that's the Shita of Rav Meir, that's the position that's taken by the that's accepted halacha, that a Kohen Gadol cannot marry a Bogeres. She can only marry a Kitana or a Nara. And that part's tricky. And then on top of that, the Bia Shalo Kedarka, so also cannot marry Kohen Gadol as well. Right, so right, how did that work? In other words, on one hand, we're going like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon on Bia Shalo Kedarka, and we're going like the Rabbi Meir in terms of a Bogeris. Okay, a bit of a head scratcher. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Anus is asma mafutas asma lo yisa vimasa nasui. Okay, Kohen Gadol is ma'anes a girl, which means that she's no longer a besula. Okay? Or he seduces a girl, and which means, again, she's no longer a besula, so lo yisa. So he's not allowed to marry that woman. Vimasa nasui. But if he marries her, even though the halacha says he shouldn't, the marriage is... What we're going to say right now is acceptable.
This is before we come to Kohen Gadol.
Huh?
This is before or after we come to Kohen Gadol.
Let's say after. Let's make it simple.
Kohen Gadol, he rips, and then he can marry, and if he marries his
thing. He says, the Tana Kama says, shouldn't marry her, but if he does, nasui. Which right now, for the time being, we're going to say simply is acceptable. Okay. Rabbi Lazar Anus is chaver, mafut is chavero. What if the woman was either raped or seduced, not by the Kohen Gadol, but by somebody else? Lo yisa v'im nasa. Okay, so again, the halacha starts off with Kohen Gadol should not marry her, and if he does, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer avlad chalal. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says the child is going to be a chalal, and the chachamim omer avlad kasher, and the chachamim say that the child is going to be kasher. Meaning, it seems pretty much goes without saying. Should not maintain that relationship, should divorce her, but if they have a child, so then the next machlokus is going to be, what's the status of that child, whether the child will be a halal or not a halal. Much to discuss over here, yes?
Does this depend whether she's
considered a zayin or not? No. We'll see. See exactly what the discussion revolves around. So Amrav Amosi Beget. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, we're talking now, we're going back to the case of a Kohen Gadol being ma'anis, a woman, so he can't marry her, and if he does, so the Braisa says acceptable. Rav Huna Marav says, not really. Meaning that's why I was tentative in the way when we said earlier acceptable. Not really acceptable, mostly beget. He has to divorce her. So the Gemara says, Ve'ala hadiktani imnasa nasui. So the Gemara notes, that's not exactly what the Braisa says. The Braisa says, the marriage is acceptable. What does that mean? Amar v'achar b'yakov l'amar she'in mishalim Knas b'mefuta. So now, what the Braisa means is that, look, shouldn't marry her. And if he does, he gives her a divorce. So what does the Braisa mean when it says it's acceptable? It means he doesn't have to pay her knas. Okay, let's go over some basic halachas. A man is ma'anis a woman, so again, yes, it's nezik, it's physical, it's bodily damage, and he has to pay her all the tashlamei nezik. Okay, again, third and fourth prakim of ksuvas. We're going to get to it. But the halacha is very straightforward. On top of that, if it's a case of ones, so two more things need to happen. Number one, he pays her kanas. He pays her kanas, that's it. Meaning, and it does not matter whether he does or does not marry her. And on top of that, as long as she's agreeable, he also marries her. And he can never divorce her. Okay, that's all by a ma'anes. What if it's mefata? Mefata means seduction, means that she is seduced, meaning that eventually she becomes a willing participant in the act. So here, the halacha is a little bit different. The halacha is that he pays her a kanas, but only if he does not marry her. If he marries her, then he does not have to pay her kanas. So what the Gemara means over here is as follows. Kohen Gadol's mefata a woman. So he shouldn't marry her. But if he does, it doesn't mean that the marriage is sanctioned. It doesn't mean that he can maintain the relationship. All it means is that it saves him from the kenas. The marriage is recognized to the point where he doesn't have to pay her kenas. Okay. Also, Rav Gvia mi beik still amar lishmai to kama derav ashi amar lei v'harav Rav Yochanan d'ami tavaya begars mokas etzol yisavim nasna nasrui. So, the Gemara is bothered by the following. Halacha said over by Rav and Rav Yochanan, which is that if you have a bogeres and you have a mukadetz, lo yisa. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a bogeres. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a mukadetz. Good. That's first thing we said today. Good. The imnaso nasui. But what if he does? He can maintain the relationship. He does not need to divorce her. It was not enough of a violation of the Torah where he has to divorce her. Alma sofalios bogeres tachtav, sofalios mukadetz tachtav. And the Gemara says, and let's think about this. Why? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because eventually, she's going to become a Bogeris anyway. Meaning, a Kohen Gadol is going to marry a Nara. Kohen Gadol is going to marry a Ketana. Okay, and now what? Eventually, she's going to become a Bogeris. So he marries a Bogeris. That's a state of being that anyway she's going to be, come, while married to him. So you can't look at that as a real psul, a real disqualification of this woman, if anyway she's going to become a Bulgaris, then she's going to become a Mukadetz. Now, by the way, when we say become a Mukadetz, it means that through the act of relations with her husband, she's just simply going to lose her Besulim. That's what the Gemara means now when it says Mukadetz. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so Hachanami, Sofalios, Beula, Tachtav. So I don't understand. So over here, a Kohen Gadol is Ma'anes, a woman. Okay, and he can't marry her. And you know why? Because she's a ba'ula. Well, I don't understand. Isn't she going to become a ba'ula underneath him? Meaning, when he marries her, isn't she going to become a ba'ula anyway? So what bothers Rav Ashi is that vis-a-vis the halacha, bogeres and mukaretz, what's the halacha? He shouldn't marry her, but if he does, look, anyway she's going to become a bogeres, and anyway she's going to become a mukaretz, so the marriage can maintain. So same thing over here. If he marries a woman he was ma'anes, so why don't we sanction the marriage for the same reason? He shouldn't marry her, but if he does, anyway she's going to become a bula tachtav. To which the Gemara says, Kasha. Yeah, that's a good question. Gemara says, not a great question. Not that I know the difference between good and great. But not a great question. Whenever you see the word, the Gemara ending off with Kasha, meaning, yeah, you're right. That's a good point. But, okay. But right, it's not as strong as Tiyufta, and the Gemara says, and we'll go on. Meaning, that there is a difference. The Gemara doesn't articulate what the difference is, but there is. So usually you'll find Rashi over here doesn't say, but usually you'll find the Rishonim then try to articulate what the difference is between the case of Be'ulas Atzma versus the Kohen Gadol having married a Bogeris or a Mukazetz. We continue. And this is Chaver Mefutas Chaver Lo Yisavim Nasar Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov Amr Avla Chalava Chachomer Min Mavla Kasher. A woman was raped, Rachman al Salon, and the Kohen Gadol marries her. Now he shouldn't, because again, as the Kohen Gadol, he has to marry Besula, and he didn't. Okay, what is the status of the child? Meaning the marriage is not sanctioned, and he should divorce her. All understood. But if the Kohen Gadol maintains this relationship, and can you imagine reading the papers? Right, if there were papers at that time. Papers really dates me, doesn't it? Okay, but the can you imagine reading the papers? And Kohen Gadol marrying a... But she's not... Okay, she wasn't a Besula. Fine. So then, the only discussion is, now, what's the status of the child? So Rav Lazar ben Yaakov says the child is a halal. I'm Rav Huna, I'm Rav, halacha ki Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, and the Gemara says, and that's the halacha. V'chein I'm Rav Gid, I'm Rav, halacha ki Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, and that's the halacha. Igadami Amar Rav Huna, I'm Rav, my time at the Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, sevala ki Rebbe El Azar. So the Gemara says, what's behind the sheet of Rav Lazar ben Yaakov? Why is it that the child is a halal? So the Gemara says, maybe for the following reason. Because he holds like Rebbe Elazar. Second time today, we reference the halacha of Rebbe Elazar. The halacha of Rebbe Elazar is that panu abba panuya, she's a zona. So now when this Kohen Gadol is marrying this woman, again, it's not anusas atzmo, mefutas atzmo, it's mefutas acher. She had relations with another man. Okay, so now what? She's a zona. So now the Kohen marrying a zona, what's the child? Chalal. Does not have Kedushas Kehuna. So the Gemara says, and we start with Kavaseva, Kamala Mishas, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Kavanaki. So the Gemara says, really? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds like Rabbi Lazar? So the Gemara says, V'ilu b'ham, Rabbi Ein alachika Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the halacha does not fall like Rabbi Elazar. So Kasha. So Gemara, once again, second time today now, says that's difficult. You're right. I don't understand. So, but here the Gemara says maybe we could say like this: Rav Ashi Amar Biyesh Chala Mechayve Asay Kemiflegi. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, I'm going to give another explanation in terms of what's behind the shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Again, we're describing a scenario where a Kohen Gadol marries a woman who is not a Besula; she is a Beula. Somebody else either raped or seduced her. She's not a Besula, and the child, the resulting child, is or is not a Chalal. So what Rav Ashi says is, I'll tell you what the machlokus is predicated on. A different issue. Yesh chalal mechayve asei kamiflegi. He violated a mitzvah asei by marrying her. Okay? A lav is when the Torah says don't. And an asei, or in this case, an iser asei, is when the Torah says do. What does the Torah tell the Kohen Gadol? You must marry a besula. What do we learn by inference? That you can't marry a be'ula. But the Torah doesn't say you can't, to the Kohen Gadol, you can't marry Be'ula. It's a lav haba mechlal asei. The negative prohibition is learned from the positive commandment of the Torah. So now, he is violating. What is he violating? An asei of the Torah by marrying a Be'ula. And so the question on the table is, the resulting child is or is not a halal? When a Kohen marries a lav, there's no machlokas. We're all in agreement. Child is a halal. But when the Kohen marries an Isser Asay, that's up for debate. And the Gemara explains. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Savi Yesh Chalal Mechayve Asay, Rabbanan, Savi Ein Chalal Mechayve Asay. My time at the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what's behind the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Gemara goes on to explain. Dechsev Amanu Grusha V'Chalal Zona Es Eila Lo Yikach. Ki Im Besula. Gemara quotes the entire pasuk from Parshas Amor, describing the mandate of the Kohen Gadol. He cannot marry a widow, a divorcee, a chalala, or a zona. Okay, if you it's Eila lo yikach, right? He cannot marry any one of these. Ki in besula, but he must marry a besula. Uksiv lo yichalal zaro ba'amav. And then the Torah says, and if you do any of the above, you'll be mechalal. The child that you have will be hollow. Hollow meaning none have kedushas kahuna. Akulu. And what is the consequence of lo yichalal? It goes on all of the aforementioned. Anything previously described in the pasuk will result in a chalal, including he didn't take a besula. Okay. V'rabanan. And now what are the chachamim going to counter? They're going to say that the word eila is a stop. Look at the pasuk again. Amanu grusha v'chala zona is eila. What does the word eila mean? These lo yikach, he cannot take. And then ki im besula, and then he should take a besula. It's a separate point. So in other words, when the Torah says v'lo yichalal zaro, it's only going up to the word eila, not past. Hifstik ayin, it creates a pause in the pasuk. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov amar eila lamuti nida. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no, you know what the word eila is coming to do? It's coming to exclude a nida. Think about it. It's really fascinating. You could have easily thought and concluded that when a Kohen has relations with a Nida, so what is that? It's more than an Isser Lav. It's an Isser Kares. Maybe that should render him and her, or render her, a Zona. Right? And then the child would be a Chalal. Okay. So what the word Eila comes to tell me is that if the Kohen has relations with a Nida, the resulting child is not a Chalal. So the Gemara says it's going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where the only one excluded from a halal is anida, meaning she's not rendered a zona. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, nichtav eila eila lebesof. And the Gemara, just one more question, and this will wrap up for today. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if everything is included in the pasuk, meaning v'lo yichalal zaro is going on, the amana, grusha, zona and chalala, and the besula, so then the eila, which is only there to exclude anida, shouldn't the eila be put at the tail end of the pasuk? Kasha, the Gemara says, that's also a good question. which we do, which
all right,
I'm not the grammarian. I'm not the grammarian. I don't know how to do it, but the Gemara suggests that you should do it. Okay, good. Okay, a lot of discussion today of revolving the definition of a besula, legabe the halachas of a besula to a kohen gadol. Conclusion: the halacha is that a kohen gadol may not marry not a bogeres, not a mukadetz. What if he does? We had that discussion also in part of today's daf. And then a discussion of what is the result of a child that was fathered by a Kohen Gadol who married a Be'ula. Is a child a Halal? Is a child not a Halal? That's a Machlokas Tanaim. And right now, the last way we explain this Machlokas is, can a Halal be the result of a violation of an Isser Aseh? Rav Ashi says that's the Machlokas amongst the